The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
You know it's on. You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. You know it's on. It's on. Yeah. You know it's on.
We got another California guy. 28-year-old from Stockton, California. All-American from Oregon State. Wide receiver. Good friend. Man. The arrow himself. Right? Always running past people, running around them. Brandon Cooks, welcome to the Cut to a Podcast. How you doing, dog?
Good, very good. I appreciate you having me. As you know, a lot of respect.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys having me.
No problem.
Welcome, bro. It's a pleasure.
This is Gerard.
What's up, bro? How you doing?
This is G, the co-host.
What up?
And then you got Backstage Joe. But, man.
What's up, Rand?
I'm going to go ahead and just get right into it because nobody knows this.
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago, you came. Well, it's been like 8 years ago.
Yep.
So about 8 years ago, had a group of wide receivers in town. And we was all working out, getting ready. I was getting ready for my second to last season.
Yep, it was second to last season.
Sure, yeah, second to last season. And so we going, and Cooks is with me. Man, he come in town. Let me tell you something. This dude is so OCD. When I say OCD, walk through your stuff. Like, this dude, he get in the car. He crossing and thanking the Lord. He put the seatbelt on. He thanking the Lord.
Hey, man,
hold on. He gets to the stoplight. He thanking the Lord. He looking right. He looking left.
You can never put too much sauce on the anointing now.
Yes, you can.
Put a little bit on there.
Yes, you can. I started worrying. Was it my driving?
Yeah.
I said, bro, are you? Oh, I finally said something probably about after the 20th time. I said, are you okay? No, man, I'm good. I just, just got to be thankful. I'm thankful, too. But at some point, you got to keep your eyes on the road. I started speeding, slowing down, stopping to see, look, is he going to do it?
Yeah. He ain't lying either. I remember back to this day. I knew he was looking, too, but I was like, man, I got to keep on going. And I knew at some point, he was like, man, you good?
All right, to walk us through that, I mean, just give us I can't remember what you said. It threw me off, so I was kind of letting you live. But, now I don't have to. Go ahead.
I gotta be honest with you. I think it was just a little bit too much to OCD because I dialed back on that a little bit. You know what I
really?
Mean? Even my wife started to catch me, and she was like, all right, now, is you all right? I take a look in the mirror like, man, am I good? I was like, I don't remember doing it this much. You know what I mean? But no, I dial back. I dial back. So
What do you think that comes from? Like,
I would say truthfully that probably anxiety. To be honest with you, I felt like those early years I was dealing with a lot of anxiety because I start to look back to myself. I'm like, man, I'm at Oregon State. I'm in high school. I wasn't doing all that. You know what I mean? I was still taking care of business. So just because I get to the league, you know, what makes that change? And I think that anxiety, you know, start to build as a young guy. And then I have to, you know, like I said, dial back, you know, when you got people around you, like, you know, noticing that, you start to question, like, okay, what really is going on? You know, I had to make a conscious effort on, you know, dialing that back. So I would really say it was probably that anxiety, to be honest with you.
I mean, you're the first, you know, you're a first round draft pick. You go to New Orleans, you're catching 1,000 footballs. You know, you're playing in an offense, you're playing with Drew Brees, you're playing in an offense that is not short of yardage.
Right.
And yet, on the outside looking in, everything looks great.
Yeah.
But you're telling me on the inside, you're struggling.
Yep.
Is it pretty much every single day?
Early on, yeah. Because you just felt that. I wouldn't necessarily call it pressure. I think it was just the want to be perfect. You know what I mean? And, you know, do something, you know, you think like that's never been done. But then again, when you think that way, as you know, you play this game for so many years, you're never going to be perfect. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the better that you can play relaxed, the better off you will be. But I thought opposite. You know, I thought to myself, well, you know, the more tense I am, the more locked in I am, the better off I'd be. And I think that's what kind of created the anxiety, you know, early on, to be honest. Yeah.
What if anything have you put in place to try to circumvent that whenever you feel it like bubbling up, or if you feel like you I'm going to take myself back down that place? What have you put in place within yourself to, because it sounds like you're a little bit more removed from it.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm far removed from a lot of that. And I think just really, you know, listening to my wife, you know, I'm really valuing her feedback. Once again, you early on, you're like, yeah, I hear you and all, but you don't understand it. But at the end of the day, they, as we all know, they're looking out for best, you know, our best interests. So, you know, she is stepping stone in that aspect. But even when I'm out there by myself, I just remind myself, like, man, look, I've been doing this for a minute. I'm a dog. There, you don't need to create that extra, you know, internal pressure. You know what you're doing. And I really started to hone in on that and truly believe it.
So what did your wife say to you that really started to hit home? Because, you know, sometimes we around people that's around us a lot, and there are habits that you just go, nah, you know, they're just saying that. We start to have selected hearing, or we start to, you know, kind of dismiss people who are around us a lot, their input, especially evaluating ourselves.
Yeah. The biggest thing that sticks with me today was like, you know, just a couple words. You're like, man, you're changing. Like, you ain't the same. And then when she said that, I'm like, what you mean? She goes, you just ain't the same. You ain't free no more. You know what I mean? You're not moving around like you know who you are anymore. You kind of, you know, you're confused. And, you know, in that conversation, you know, it's different between like, hey, you all right, blah, blah, blah. But once you hit words like that, you're like, all right, now this person with me every day. And if they can see a change, you know, that means something. So like, you just putting too much on yourself. You ain't playing the same. You ain't coming home from practice the same. You know, granted, you know, we've been together since college. So she can truly say that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She can say how I was coming home from practice back then versus, you know, when I got in the league. And that kind of hit home with me.
Do you think some of – I mean, you've been traded at three times now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right, you've been traded three times. How has – that experience maybe played into that? Take us down each one. Yep. I want you to be your authentic self. I don't necessarily want you to, you know, if someone hears this that, oh, he threw such and such under the bus.
Oh, yeah, no, I got you.
Right? Yep. But it's also what you've experienced, right? You experience what you experience.
Yep.
But being traded three times, and you aren't traded because you can't play.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's a great question, Steve, because through some of those trades early on, I started to notice some of that was coming back. You know what I mean? I get traded from New Orleans to New England. And I'm like, at that point, I'm like, all right, well, look, you know, I'm going for a first round. I'm going to a contending team. Like, that one didn't really, you know, hit me that much just because that's early on in the career. But the one from New England to the Rams, you know, hit me because, like, you know, we get to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, you know, I get hit and I get concussed and I get knocked out of the Super Bowl. So I'm like, man, I was just y'all leading receiver. You know what I mean? First year being able to pick that offense up, I'm thinking to myself, at least I'm going to finish my fifth year option and get a chance at this again. You know, clearly that didn't happen. And so when I got traded to L.A., I'm like, well, dang. I mean, I just produced. Now I get it. You know, they do things their way. They don't, you know, pay guys market. Mm-hmm. So I look at that and I say, okay, I understand that. So I'm at L.A. and I'm picking it up. And once again, we go to the Super Bowl and, you know, this the one where it really hit me. That Super Bowl, you know, I feel like I didn't perform to my best. And I hear again, next year I had another chance at it. And I feel like, in my opinion, I failed again. And going into that offseason, bro, I was just – I'm like, damn, why I can't get over this hump? Like, yeah, I'm producing throughout the season. But, you know, the biggest stage that you want to play on, I didn't make it happen. And I remember that year, you know – targets was getting, you know, taken away. So then I'm really in my head. That year, I think I had two to three concussions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I go see a specialist and they go, look, ain't nothing wrong with you structurally. And this is without him even asking me any questions. You know, he do some tests. Like, man, your anxiety is through the roof. Mm. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, he ain't lying because that OC, that OCD starting to come back. I'm talking about pregame. I'm doing, you know, I'm hitting the crosses too many times, like I was in the car back then. Wow. And one thing he said to me is like, well, people don't understand the anxiety portion. You know what I mean? It's like you redlining already. So any little thing that could take you over that red line is very minimal. You know, most people start down here. You can get some hits. And then all of a sudden you're at the red line. But for me, I'm there already. And so he's like, look, I'm not worried about you if you can get this down pat, you know, because everybody started questioning, like, you know, because should you keep going? Yeah. And when he told me that, I took that as a challenge. I'm like, you know what? I love this game too much to be away from it this soon. I'm going to get this fixed. So I start seeing a mental coach.
So hold on. We're going to go there, but let's go backwards. Your anxiety was so high that it was starting to infiltrate your whole body and also your mind to the point of where, and I say this tongue in cheek, but basically somebody just breathes on you and your body literally was responding.
Just ready to shut down.
Ready to shut down. So you were having you weren't having a concussion where your brain was hitting against your skull. You were having full body concussion.
And at first I'm like, man, but then I'm like, man, he got a point though, because I'm like, you know, it'll be some games I'm fine, some games I'm good, and then some games I'm just, you know, I'm antsy. Tripping and I'm antsy, I'm ready to go, because in my mind I'm like, all right, I gotta make up for these last, you know, couple Super Bowl performances. And as you know, now looking back at it, you can't make up with it and make it up in one game. Or you can't make up, you know, you can't really make it up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And as a receiver, you know, we depend on so many factors to be successful.
Yeah,
and so here I am putting that pressure on me. And at the end of the day, I can control some of it, but most of it, I can't control play calling. I can't control what a quarterback throw. I can't control any of those things. And I had to really, really see that for what it was.
Your face with looking yourself in the mirror. You've seen a specialist.
Yep.
You've talked to Boss Hogg, the wife.
Yep.
You know, she's been around you. She knows exactly who you are. You are known to her. And then now you just have to sit and you're left with not just professional decisions, but personal decisions that affects your profession. You're trying to control football, which you have no control over, and the person and the things and the person you can control is yourself, which takes some time. So then after that, how do you harness and control and also let go of all these things that you're balancing, that you have put, you have artificially and really tangible, realistically put on your shoulders?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think just over the years, it's been a little bit by little bit, because I think the biggest thing I was faced with was like, okay, if I continue to go down this road, I don't get to play this game that I love, right? Mm-hmm. So at that point, you're thinking, well, I'm willing to do whatever I can to fix that. And then you look at your family, and then, you know, when she get, you know, Boss Hogg, like you said, give me the green light, I'm like, okay, I can't let her down. Mm. And then when you have your first child, you think to yourself, okay, I'm too young to be not to be away from this game. So now I got to think to myself, what am I going to do to be able to see, to be able to let him see me play this game for a while? So it really just came down to a personal decision and seeing mental coaches and trying to just get rid of some of those things that I was, you know, facing. And every single year has been better.
First of all, how long have you been seeing a mental coach?
I would say going on 3 years, ever since my last year in L.A., as I was getting traded to Houston, is when I started that process.
So what is that, 2017,
2018? 18. My third year. With
3 years. Yeah. And how did you go about that process? And was it easy? Was it difficult? Were you nervous?
You know, at first, I had a lot of pride. You know how that go. Mm. But I had to tell myself, you know, getting rid of that pride is going to help me. And so I would say it was tough at first. Then went through an interview process, interviewing different people, you know, talking to guys who may have had one. Typically, it seemed like the quarterbacks usually have one. So, you know, I hit whether it's ex-quarterbacks or other quarterbacks around the league that I got respect for, found their guy, interviewed them, and then came down to a decision on what was best for me.
In that interview process, what were some of the questions? Or how did you come up with the questions? And I wouldn't know. I personally wouldn't know what to ask a guy.
No, I didn't know at all. All I knew was I was having anxiety problems, and I just let them speak, and you know, and then listen to them, and it was more so a listening process because I had no clue what to ask them. I didn't have no clue. You know what I mean? I had nobody really to lean on, you know, for questions to ask.
You're known as a person who has a huge amount of faith, whether it's your bow and arrow, you mentioned the crosses that you do. How did that come into play? And even on a practical level, because even when some people say faith, it's like this kind of whimsical kind of pond.
Right, right.
But what did that look like on a day-to-day basis with you?
No, I see. And that was a part that, you know, I look at myself as like, I still held on to that, but it was clearly I wasn't trusting something, right?
Let me interject and let me say, from sitting on the outside in, that's a fantastic question. And I would say, knowing him, zero faith.
I respect it. Yeah.
And the reason why is because if you're a believer, you can't be asking God every single stoplight to save me.
Yep. Yep.
Well, he gave you a driver's license. It ain't like you ain't got it. But I'm just saying it because I'm saying it in defense, but also in a great conversation because, you know, I'm reading every month this new book. And one of these books, they talk about when the game, it's called when the game is over and they put it back in the box. Right.
Yep.
And it talks about, In your career, you have to, whether you like it or not, you will be cheating something. Like if you are working 100% of the time, that means you're cheating.
And something's gonna fall by the wayside.
Yeah. But it says you're cheating your kids from having their daddy.
Yeah.
Right. You're cheating if you at the house. And you're not at work like you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Where am I winning?
Yes. Yeah. No, but you're cheating. So there. And so this book is basically saying you're going to cheat something. Mm-hmm. Something is going to, like you said, fall by the wayside.
You're not
going to
win at everything.
You can't.
You're not.
But you also can't give your time and your talents to every single thing you do. It's not enough hours in the days.
Right. No. Right? Yeah.
And so by saying that, I realized you have to literally say, if I choose to be one of the best friends that I can be, that to one person, that means a few other people.
Yeah.
I'm stealing that time from them, right? To give to air quotes, that best friend. And so I'm taking this is, if you are trying to be picture perfect in everything you do on the football field, and you are having anxiety walking across the street, you praying you don't choke, pause, on this hot dog you about to eat. Literally to everything you do, you are worried that the worst thing can happen.
Yep.
You, and as a believer, you cannot say you have faith because your prayers are showing that you don't have faith in the Lord at anything because you're scared of everything. So that means that you are not walking in faith. You're actually praying in fear.
Yeah. I'm gonna double back on. Yeah.
Go ahead. I just that's just something that like I just kind of knowing you and going back, like when I was with each other for so 3 days. It was like 4 or 5 days. You had came early. Bro, he had me shook.
And then double back on that. That's the truth. It's like, you know, it's like he talked about you can't have two idols. You can't serve God and money, right? And I'm saying money our situation because that's what it's saying in the Bible. But at that time, I was serving perfection, my game. I was that's what I was putting my hope in, you know, most of the time because I was so hungry. You know, so antsy to be able to make up for something. Here I am, here, you know, going back to the bookie read. Here I'm going to cheat my time, my quiet time. Why? Because as soon as I get up, I want to go straight to work because I think to myself, well, if I go do this, I'm going to make up for it. If I do this, I'm going to make up for it. If I do this, when it gets to it, I'm going to make up for it. So here I am forgetting about really the most important thing that got me to the position I'm in. And you know, so it goes back to like that book you're talking about. You cheating something. And at that time, I was cheating my faith, you know. Yeah, I was still reading. Yeah, I was still praying. But what was I praying for and why was I praying? You know, clearly talk about do not have anxiety, cast your anxiety on him because you care. Well, clearly I wasn't casting it on him because I was holding it all myself. And that's real. And that's just being straightforward.
I love Cut to It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut to It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut to It.
Facebook?
Cut to It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. CutToItPodcast.com.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, you know, also, too, is like, you know, I just finished this other book, and it talks about, it's like God and money.
Yeah.
And it's talking about, and then the other ones, you know, Keep the Game and then Bond of Brothers and so all these different books. And one of the things that I really found interesting is that we will hear a story of John who will say, I walked in 100 degree weather. I walked 10 miles because I ran out of gas. And then he walked 10 miles, came back. Yeah, he sweated, and then he refilled his car for the gas. But I notice in these books, at times, it doesn't tell a full story of what happened in those 10 miles.
Yeah,
it doesn't
say
that how John May almost passed out, too. That John also had a pair of shoes that all of a sudden it got so hot that the sole of his shoes started to melt. Or that it also started to rain halfway through because he was living in Florida and a shower came through and then a truck came by and it was a puddle and it splashed on him. Like, they're not telling, and I'm not saying they're not telling a full story, but sometimes we hear the glorified, glory Christian stories, but leaves out some of the small details of what that person in, you know, like, I think the Bible does a great job with David, talks about what he went through, how many years he stayed in jail, not just when he became king and he saw his family, right? Mm-hmm.
Or just what he was feeling.
Like, yes.
I know that part. And that's
yes.
Back to the whole question.
Yeah.
Of, you know, I think a lot of times having this conversation about faith, it's not always hunky-dory.
No.
Walking in
no.
Sometimes
nope.
It is. I don't have enough. Like he just like Brandon just said, I wasn't casting it or I didn't even have it to give, right?
Yep.
And it can be a way, it can be an up and down meter. It doesn't have to be a blanket.
Yes. Yeah. And I have a good enough relationship with him because when I was hurt, he was playing and I'm over here, he's like, "Hey big bro, whatever you see, hit me up." And it got to a point where I like, man, I'm tired of bugging this dude. Yeah. And he was probably like, man, I know. I need to get it fixed. Where it was literally, because I was hurt. So all I was doing was watching a whole bunch of guys. I had like a hit. I had like a hit list. All of you receivers talking about, I know you sitting around, so let me know. Yeah. And I'm like, bro, we worked on all of this stuff.
Yep. Yep.
And you get in the game.
Yep. And
you looking like Brendan Cooks.
He ain't lying. No, he ain't lying.
Right,
you know, I'm hitting him, and yeah, he's saying something, but then what? I'm not. It goes back to I'm not, you know, trusting anything at that point. He's like, yeah, I hear you. So at that point, I was just basically, you know, wasting my breath, and then making him waste his time texting me.
I felt bad because I ain't got nothing but time on my hands. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm over here watching film, and that's why I said. A little bit out of respect, but also just calling what it is because I'm a believer and I have faith, but there's days where I have fear and I have to be big enough to say, am I operating out of fear or am I operating out of a process and a procedure, giving it to God, waiting on it? You know, sometimes, you know, I've heard at times, you know, you say, man, I'm praying and I'm waiting for an answer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that story, there's a flood.
Mm-hmm.
The guy comes with a donkey.
Yeah.
No, I'm waiting on the Lord. Then the water gets a little higher. He on the second floor. Then he comes with a boat. Hey, man, you need a ride? No, I'm waiting on the Lord. Then God gonna save me.
Yeah.
God got me. Mm-hmm. Then the dude, he on the top of the roof with a helicopter. Ain't it? No, the Lord will provide.
Yeah.
Man drowns, goes to heaven. God, hey, God, why you didn't say he's sick?
When
I sent you the donkey. I sent you the boat, the helicopter. How many other signs shall I send you? Yes. Right. And the biggest thing I remember hearing one time was, if you're in a car praying, don't close your eyes. God does not allow you to pray and speak to him and unplug your brain. And someone told me this, and I was like, what do you mean? He says, would you drive through a green or red light and pray to God something bad doesn't happen? I go, that's a great question.
Yeah, why can't you just pray while you're driving?
But it was more of, sometimes we literally take blind faith as, let me drive through this red light, close my eyes, and pray, and God got me. No, that's not how it works. But if you're not careful,
we'll do that.
Yeah, because the fear is greater. So through this process, you interview some mental coaches, and what is it like? What do you go through? Take us through that process of realizing after you've picked a guy or girl. Yeah. What did it do for you?
I think the biggest thing is really, so one of the big processes is like this brain training, you know what I mean? And long story short, what it is called NeuroPeak. And, you know, you just hook a lead up to, you know, to your head, and it's connected to your phone. But you're watching this video. And if you got too much brain waves going, the video will actually stop and go dark. So it basically helps you consciously, you know, realize and get the, you know, what that feeling is when your anxiety is starting to get up there. And so just through the time, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, now I know what that feeling is. Because sometimes when you're so in it, you don't even know. And then you look back and be like, oh, that's what it was. But when you're in it, you don't realize that. And so that kind of helps you realize when that's coming on. And, you know, just breath work, you know what I mean? And, you know, those type of things. And I truthfully felt like that has helped me because I've been blessed 3 years, not one concussion since, you know, L.A. And, you know, so people ask me, do it work? Well, you know, I've been 3 years with it free when there's been 2 years back to back. I had two each year. So, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And you know what? It works for me. It may not work for somebody else, but I can tell you what, it's worked for me.
So how are you just feeling today?
I'm feeling good. Yeah. Feeling good.
Why? Yeah, why are you feeling good?
I mean, I just think I just kind of went through, we just go back to what we was talking about with stories. Like, okay, how did I get to this point? I feel good today because of everything that I battled through, you know, and being at that low moment, those low moments, and realize what I felt like then and how I'm feeling now. It's like, it took a lot for me to get here. It took years. I mean, it's going on my ninth year. You know, you can basically say it took me seven years to get to this point. Just going out there, being able to play free, you know, and I truly feel like I've been playing free again, you know, not as tense.
If I had a camera and I followed you around for a week,
you ain't seeing it no more.
What cooks am I getting today? Just comparing the difference, though.
I mean,
you're a married man.
Married man, got
a
son.
You're a father.
I'm a father. Just, you know, goofy cooks. You know, just goofy cooks.
So
you know. But then hold on, let me take it back now. When it comes to the grind, none of these tests was taken out away from me because I know that wasn't hurting me. You know what I mean? Mm. It was the thought of like, okay, I have to do this. And now at those moments, I was unorganized. Yeah. Was I working hard? Yeah. I was, you know, it's like I'm running my head into a wall, but don't know the reason. Mm. Now, no, I'm still grinding.
You got
a purpose behind it, though. Mm. I'm organized. I wake up in the morning and things are organized, and I'm trusting my process. And because that's one thing that's not going to be taken away, because I don't care what, you know, mental coach say, a test say, at the end of the day, you got to work.
Yeah.
You got to work. But it's what is your reason behind the work? Is you working just to work, or you got a purpose behind it? So
You said you're a dad now.
Yeah.
Man, you lost your dad when you were young, you know, below eight, you know, 6 years old, below 10 years old. Being a father, but also a young man that lost his father, you know, being so young, you don't really have that memory, right? A solid memory of your dad. How has not having your dad around because of his passing, how has that affected you as a father today?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. It's been one of the hardest things, in my life. Not because it's because I don't have no example. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or no example at home that I have, right? I got family, friends, and stuff, but it just ain't the same. You know what I mean? You can get all the advice in the world, but I don't have that example. So in my eyes, it's just like, okay, this is trial and error. You know what I mean? I know if I love this kid to the best of my ability, and in my mind, he's gonna turn out okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But that's where it goes back to our faith. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I would say it's true faith in that aspect, because I raise my hands and I say sometimes to my wife, man, I don't know. And
me too,
I realize it's okay not to know. You know what I mean?
You know, I'm four deep, and I still sometimes I'll be on that trial and error.
So it's hard, but at the same time, it's a beautiful thing, because it's like I didn't have mine, and so you know what I mean. It's okay sometimes not to know, and so from an everyday aspect, you know, every once in a while you sit there. I got this necklace, you know. He talking a little bit now, so he'd be like, dad. Like, nah, that's Papa. It's like, yeah. And so and you get in moments like that, it's like, man, that's tough. You know what I mean? Because he don't have that side. He don't have that side.
Moving forward, then I don't have that, but how do you instill your son's grandfather?
The biggest thing I remember about my dad, which not much, is the time that he spent with us, it didn't matter what was going on. He was going to make sure he spent his time with us and just his hustle. Those are the two things that I can remember. Now, I'm going to install the hustle legally. you know what I mean? I'm going to install that legally. And the thing I always remember, even passing at such a young age, one thing I remember was, he spent every time he got a chance to spend time with us, he spent time with us. Wasn't nothing else more important. You know, if it wasn't work, he was with us. And so those are two things that I know I could take with me from a positive standpoint and install in my son's life.
Good, do it. Good, do it. Let's get down, do it. Good, do it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from CutToItPodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How have you handled now, you know, how are you handling this sudden change? Sudden change has hit you in the face like no other guy, right? sudden change for you in the NFL has almost hit you like a practice squad player where, you know, every couple of years you're somewhere new. You've experienced that, but as a first-round draft pick and producing and getting contracts. And
right.
So, you know, obviously – that sudden change is something that you've had to adapt, and it hasn't been always easy.
No, early on those sudden changes were easy, but now I'm at the point like, look, you know what I mean? I basically know who I am and I know what I bring to the table. You know what I mean? And, you know, instead of thinking like, man, why they don't want me? It's like, well, if you don't want me, that's your loss. That's a different mindset that, you know, for the first couple of trades, that's different from LA to Houston. It's like, well, I know what I bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want me, then that, you know, that's your loss. But does it still give you a chip on your shoulder? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So now with all of that, what's your outlook on this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, go out there and shock people. But I think it's a daily process. You know, being there at this OTAs, one thing I was excited about was things is actually organized. Like a team should be, you know what I mean? I'm just being real. Yeah. It's organized. Lovey got a lot of respect for him. You know, he's coaching his game. And as we all know, we don't, you know, make no promises. But, you know, I just feel like my outlook is more of a positive outlook versus, you know, other times, honestly.
Where are you at right now?
I'm in Oregon now.
I just left.
Oh, you was out here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out in Oregon.
It's nice. You're not trying to be in Houston too hot, huh?
Nah. I'll go the last 2 weeks before camp just to get used to the humidity again. But this my area right here during the off season. I get to get away.
So Oregon's where you call a home now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You say you know who you are.
Yeah.
Who is Brandon Cooks then?
So long story short, I'll take you back a little bit. I was reading this book, probably started 3 years ago. It's my nugget. Probably you can read it within 10 minutes. It's The Self-Forgetfulness by Timothy Keller. Mm. And one thing he talked about and it's going back to my faith, it goes, you know, before Jesus did any sort of miracle, when he was born, God said, this is my son, whom I'm pleased, right? And this is before he did any miracle, before he healed the blind, before he healed the lame, anything. And so that stuck with me. I keep that with me in the heart, because no matter what's going on, I'm somebody that's walking around with that God is well pleased with, right? Mm-hmm. Before I scored any touchdowns, before I did any of those things, before I made it to the league, he was well pleased with me. Why? Because I was walking in faith, right? I was walking and my actions and my words were matching up. Was there a gap in there where that wasn't matching up? Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Was he still well pleased with me? You know, the way I look at it, no. But, you know, most people would say, you know, yeah, he was. But I think that's also taking the easy way out. But these last 3 years, that's what I've been feeling. Well, regardless of what's going on, you know, he's well pleased with me because of the walk that I'm walking. But I don't say that to be soft, though. You know, some people take that and be like, well, now I ain't got to do nothing. You know what I mean? No, that's not what I'm saying. Your faith has to go with actions, right? It can't just be, you know, you walk by faith and nothing else. No, you got to actually walk with it. And so, yeah, I'm still working up, grinding. I still have a chip on my shoulder, absolutely. But regardless of what happened, you know, I'm someone that he's well pleased with. And if he's well pleased with and my family is, you know what, that's what I care about. Because I'm somebody's hero. Mm. And at this point, it's my son. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? My brothers. And, you know, that's enough for me. That's enough for me.
That's good. I like that. How much longer do you want to keep playing?
I'm at 9. I'm going to go 14 for sure.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. I didn't. Nickel for the insult. Let me help. I'm going 14, buddy.
But no, but no, I don't mean to get too personal, but, you know, Steve, like, I was a kid that really, I ain't look up to people. You know what I mean? But one thing, like I always told you, you know what I told you? It's like, I don't know, it was something that I was drawn to. I still do a lot of respect for you, the way that you played the game. And I looked up to you. And obviously, I know how long you played the game for. And I know a little bit about your story.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you've inspired me, you know, from the moment that I stepped into the league. And you still do. I watch your highlights, you know what I'm saying? And anytime anybody asks me, like, okay, what is one receiver that you looked up to in this game? And anytime you can go back to interviews, it's always Steve Smith. So I also appreciate that. You know what I mean? The way that you went about your business in this game and adversity that you battled through, not just in this game, but in life. You know what I mean? You also inspired me as well. So I can't sit here and act like that ain't the truth.
Well, I appreciate it. Surprisingly, you were my first interview at NFL Network.
I remember.
I was so nervous.
Now we got a full circle moment.
I was extremely nervous. My producer, Trent, wanted me to, this is a story we talk about, I wouldn't take my hat off. He wanted me to take my hat off. Mm. And I'm like, no, I'm not taking my hat off. And so I had the opportunity to interview you, and I had like all these questions that had nothing to do with football. And like I'm asking, they're like, well, we'll let them ask, but what are you talking about? And I was doing a football sit down, and I didn't want to talk no football. I just wanted to know, Brandon Cooks, the player. And then after that, but before that, you know, when I was in Baltimore, he came out. I had some guys, Baltimore, some guys in Charlotte, and we worked out. They worked out with my trainer, and Cook stayed at the house. And it was grind time.
Yep.
Them boys was hurting.
Hurt. Pushing sleds.
We were doing two of that.
Moss came out for a little bit. Yep.
Well, Moss was out there. Moss's son Thaddeus was out there.
Yep.
Here in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josh, I remember that because I met you. I met him once before when he was in Charlotte. That had to be the same time.
Yeah. Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Gordon was out there, man.
Yeah,
it was
good group.
It was a good group, and it was an opportunity to see. Like guys used to always ask me, like, you know, what, you know, let's work out. I want to do your stuff. Yeah. Every single one of them boys after the workout was like, man, I'm not working out with Steve no more. Because it was all the stuff that we needed to do. But, man, I've always respected your game. I know how hard it is to play this game. And I know it's even harder when you care. Like, there's a lot of players that don't care. They're just in it for the money. And you can get money in this game and kind of just cruise through life. But it'll catch up with you.
Yep.
You haven't been one of those guys. You've always tried to you worked your butt off, and you're trying to figure out how and what and why. And you've enjoyed and learned and been taught through your own journey. And you're coming out now. You know, you were that caterpillar, and now you're that butterfly, right?
Yep.
And it's awesome, man. It's awesome to talk to you on this side of football now in the media. But it's also awesome to see, right? Every guy that I've interact with, I try to say this. Anybody can catch football. But when I watch him ball, I want to make sure that I can say I know that man.
Yeah.
And you're one of those men.
I appreciate that.
I can't be proud of you because I had nothing to do with it. But I'm at all of what you've overcome physically, but more mentally.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I appreciate that.
Awesome.
Appreciate that.
So you learn how to play some golf and it'll become it'll come full.
I'm learning how to fly right now, so I get one hobby.
Fly.
Yeah, I'm learning how to fly right now.
Why?
Man, it's peaceful. Gets you there. And then being here in Oregon, we got so many beautiful places around us. Instead of having to drive 3 or 5 hours, being able to fly 30 minutes is going to sound a whole lot better.
That wind, though, was...
The wind aggressive, but this the one I'm training in, is you got a parachute in. So, you know...
Excuse me?
I mean, yeah.
In case you got to dip out on that thing.
Just in case, right? Just in case.
Oh, sir.
Every person who's pulled that parachute correctly has walked away and had dinner that night. So.
What about the people who didn't?
And that's a different story.
Yeah.
Well, so it's a possibility. You're telling me it's a chance.
Different story. Hey.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'd rather work trying to get around an offensive lineman, get a sack,
I stay on 45.
Yeah.
I can drive that.
I was about to say Trey Williams. I was like, I ain't getting no sack on that one. Well, man, we appreciate it, bro. Yeah. It's, man, just awesome. Love seeing you. Love seeing what you're doing. And, you know, obviously you're in Houston where that's interesting. But, you know, you're persevering. You're still putting up numbers, man. And a lot of people can't say that.
Yep. No, so. I appreciate it. It's always good seeing you.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It. Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr. That is me. Is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production coordinator Taylor Robinson, theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.